reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. At that time, John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow us." Jesus replied, "Do not prevent him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes be thrown into Gehenna, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." The Gospel of the Lord. But very powerful words this day. Can we hear it? Can we take it? Can we hear it as being spoken to ourselves? Or do we still think, "I know someone who this would fit very well," as if it would not be spoken to me? Come a little closer. I want to talk to you this morning. No, not the person in the back, you. I want to tell you something. Share a few thoughts with you. God's word is always powerful, dear friends. It's always for me, meaning for you, for all of us individually, and of course for all of us collectively as a community. But for me first. And what struck me in the readings of today were two words: for and against. For and against. Because you see, the word of God said, "There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us." And it caused me to ask a few questions of myself, and that's what I share with you today. The first question is, what are you for? And what are you against? I'm talking about myself, and I hope you find it also for yourselves. And how does it show? Meaning, whatever I'm for, how does that show? And whatever I'm against, how does that show? And how does that reflect my Christian dignity and my Christian profession? In other words, what do you stand for, publicly and privately? Do you stand for truth? all the time, not when it's convenient, or not when people that you know are listening and you say it because you want to please them. But do I stand for truth? Do I stand for beauty? For all of what God has created? And as you say in Creole, les bon, dit bon. Without fear or favor, I don't have to like whoever is doing it, but if it's good, you say it is good. It's beautiful. I stand for that. Do I stand for goodness? Do I applaud the good things that happen? And of course, dear friends, all of these have the negative in the sense, if I don't stand for truth, then what do I stand for? You know the answer. If I don't stand for beauty, what do I stand for? If I don't stand for goodness, what do I stand for? The next question that came to me was, who are you for? First one was what? The second one is, who are you for? And who are you against? Are you for God? Does it show? Are you for Jesus Christ? Does that show? Or are you for the devil? Are you for Satan? Because again, the question is, if I have chosen God, then obviously I'm against all that is against God. If I have chosen Jesus Christ, then I follow his teaching and his precepts, and I live by that, not by any other philosophy. And if I have chosen to be guided by the Spirit of God, then I know where I stand. My pride turns into humility. My avarice turns into generosity and giving. My lust turns into something beautiful, understanding who I am and appreciating God in everyone I see. Because I have chosen the Spirit of God as my guide and as my leader, as that which not only controls my life, but gives meaning to everything I do and I say. But then I asked a further question. Who is for you? Do you know who is for you? Do you? Because you see, there are sometimes people who pretend to be for you, but in actual fact, they're not really for you. They laugh with you when the time comes. They might even eat at your table and drink all your wine. But when that finish, they finish too. And they pretend to be for you because they say all the nice things in front of you, but behind your back, it's a different story. Devant chien, c'est mouché chien. Derrière chien, pas de you. Who is for you? Who is against you? The person who speaks truth to you, is that person for you or against you? And what if the truth is hard to take, but your friend puts you aside and says, this is what I know, and you really want me to watch out? Do I get vexed with them for telling me the truth? Is that person for me or against me? And the person who smiles for me and tells me all the things they think I need to hear or I want to hear so that I can continue to be their friend would even tell me lies because they think that's what I want to hear. Is that person for me or against me? These are the questions, my dear friends, that went through my mind as I prepared all these wonderful readings for today. Because again, sometimes we mix things up. in terms of where we stand about our church, about our religion, about our God, and about our lives in public also, because we are citizens of the country, we cannot divorce our faith with our public life. In fact, our faith should impact our public lives. If we say we believe, what we believe should somehow show in everything we say and do out there. When the two, Eldad and Medad, from the first reading of today, were prophesying, they were not with the rest of them. Although they had been selected, but somehow they couldn't find themselves in the tent at the time. And what happened was, the Spirit of God came on them anyway. They catch the Spirit, and they start to prophesy. But the young man, who I suppose, like most of us, would say, but they're not in the tent, but they prophesy in Fona. They have no right to prophesy. So he goes to tell Moses, Moses, they're in outside, they're doing the same thing all you're doing here. How come? And of course, Joshua says, stop them. What was Moses' answer? Would that all the people would prophesy. When God gives his Spirit, let it be. Who am I to stop God? And if God has given them that power to do this, I cannot stop them. You cannot stop them. Let God do his thing. I am for God, and therefore I will allow God to be God. It's a marvelous thing. I am for God. I am not doing this for myself. If the Spirit of God falls on these people, all God told was choose them. I chose them and God does the rest. Who am I to stand in God's way? Who am I to tell God what to do? If I'm for God, I allow God to do God's work. The other lesson I learned from this, dear friends, was that God can use even those who may not belong to this group, our inner circle, to perform his mighty deeds. Again, les bons, dix bons. Does it have to be from a Catholic person? From a Pentecostal? If whoever is doing it is moved by God to do it, then let God be God. And recognize that none of us, not one of us, possesses all the gifts. And therefore, we are always open to the possibility that the person sitting next to you might be more knowledgeable in my own field of expertise, than myself. Be open to the possibility that the person sitting next to me might have greater and more better insights into the field that I think I'm proficient in than myself, and therefore I'm ready to learn. Would that all the people of God were prophets, and the Spirit indeed has been given to all of us, those in this camp and those outside. I come back to the question, dear friends, what are you for? What are you for? Are you for peace? Are you for togetherness? Are you for understanding and cooperation and unity? Are you for the promotion of the kingdom of God? Or are you for the promotion of your own kingdom? And the question also then, who are you for? There was a question in the Acts of the Apostles, in Paul's letters. He says, some are saying, I'm for Apollos, I'm for Paul, I'm for Cephas, says, what is all this about? There's only one Jesus. We're all for him. Did Paul die for you? No. And the question I think still remains that even when we perform our ministry, we might be sidetracked into thinking that we're doing something because we can, and we've always done it, and nobody can take us out. Am I for myself, or am I for Jesus? Am I working for the kingdom, or am I working because it feels good, and it's nice to be in a prominent position, whether in the church or in society? I'm there because I got there, or somebody put me there, nobody not taking me out. Or I'm there because the Lord has put me there, and when he's ready to let me go, I will gladly let go so that someone else can rise. Because his work will continue. And I don't have all the gifts. And he gives his spirit to whoever he wants, whoever he wishes. I come to the second part, which is, what is against us? What is against you? If I asked anyone here this morning today, if they feel that there are things working against them, I think many would say, Father, you don't know. If I start to tell you the whole daily, you have no idea the things I have to go through every day. I have an idea, because I go through some of them myself. I'm sure you're all aware of all these scandals now in the church. Priests and bishops and even cardinals. Pedophilia. We can't deny it, it's there. We have to face it. But it's a blow against the church. It's a blow against me as a priest. All priests are all put in the same bag. What's against you? Abuse of authority. Lack of respect for the most vulnerable, for the children, for the poor. Taking advantage of the powerless. Allowing the pleasures of our senses to control us. See, when James talks in the second reading today about the rich, it's about everybody. And don't feel bad, because I know we have no rich people here. He was talking about us. But he's talking about us even if we don't have money. Because sometimes, even if we haven't got much, we cling to what we have so much, we forget God. So he says, woe to you. Your gold is corroding. Your things, that just... In other words, everything lasts only for a time. And they are working against you. Because they're not allowing you to see God where God is, and you're allowing them to become your God. These are the things that come against you. People have worked for you, you haven't paid them. You tell them, come back tomorrow. Each day, come back tomorrow. They have a wife to feed, they have children to feed. That is what is working against you. Because it's a sign of your inability to be all that you're called to be as a human being, and certainly as a Christian. Who are you for? Who are you against? St. Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? I want to say, dear friends, if we are for God, it doesn't matter who's against us. If I'm for God, it doesn't matter who's against me. And so all of today's readings, in a sense, spoke to me on those two words, for and against. And I offer that to you as a bit of a reflection. The Spirit of God came on Eldad and Medad, just as it did on the others, even if they were not there in the camp. And Jesus, after telling them again that whoever is not against us is for us, goes on to say then what could really be against them, to the point where he says, if you cause one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, that's against you. But you see, you're bringing it against you yourself, aren't you? You're bringing it against you yourself. It is better for him to get a great millstone put around his neck and be thrown into the sea. And he continues in the same vein. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. That is what is against you. The hand that somehow should be used to do all the beautiful things that you could possibly do, to feed the poor, to reach out to those in need. You use that to steal? You use that to touch others in a wrong way? Oh, shame on you. That is what is against you. But you're bringing it on your own, aren't you? Bringing it to yourself. And he continued, if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. Those feet that he gives you to go on pilgrimage, to walk to the neighbor's house and attend to their need. Those feet that you can use to do something good and positive, you use them to go to the same neighbor's house to break open and steal? Shame on you. That's what's against you. And he continued, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Again, the eyes that can be used to do all the beautiful things for God. I spoke about beauty and goodness, truth. You say that most of what we receive comes from our vision. In terms of what we see, makes the brain work, and then we attend to that. But we can look at all kinds of foolish things that rather than uplift our spirits, destroy our spirits. But we choose again. That's what against you. Don't allow all the beautiful senses that you have to work against you, but let them be for you. What is for you? What is against you? What are you for? What are you against? And so, dear friends, as I conclude, I invite you to ask the Lord to give all of us the strength and the courage to truly examine ourselves and ask ourselves those basic questions. What am I for? Is there anything that I'm for really, or am I wishy-washy? I'm a convenience person. Is truth to me when it's convenient, but is a lie to me when it's convenient? Or do I stand for truth? Because I am truth. Who am I for? And who am I against? And if I am for God, does it show in my kindness to others, my compassion, my forgiveness, my love? And then, if I know that there are things against me, let me start with myself. And those things that are in me that I allow to be against me. Some time ago we had the reading from Galatians that talked about the life of the spirit, the life of the flesh. There's those who are in the spirit. It's love, it's joy, it's peace, it's forgiveness. Or those who are not in the spirit, it's other things. Fighting and jealousy and quarreling. Not long ago, we also had another beautiful reading about what makes you clean and unclean. And the law says it's not what you eat that goes into the body that makes anyone unclean, but rather the terrible things that are in the heart. If we could begin with that, dear friends, in terms of what is against us, not so much from outside, but from inside first, I think it wouldn't matter very much what is against us from outside. And like St. Paul, we'd all be able to say, if God is for us, it doesn't matter who's against us. Amen.